Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're so glad you're here with us today, and we're actually talking directly to you for this one.
Yep, directly to you.
Picture this scenario for a second. You are a mid-level photographer.
You've got the gear.
Right, you've got the professional gear. You have absolutely mastered Lightroom. Your edits are sharp.
Your lighting is totally dialed in.
Exactly. You've put in the proverbial 10,000 hours to learn the craft. But, well, let's be honest, your client list is still just a trickle.
And your income is a complete roller coaster.
Yeah, mostly you're just sitting there waiting for the phone to ring.
It's an incredibly frustrating place to be. I mean, you look at your work and you know you have the talent.
Yeah.
But the business momentum just isn't there.
Yeah.
And it can feel, honestly, incredibly isolating.
It really can. So our mission for today's deep dive is highly specific. We're going to help you get 3 to 5 paid assignments in your specific niche in the next few weeks.
Love that.
And the secret to doing this, you have to totally drop the hope and pray method of marketing.
Right. No more hoping.
You have to get ruthlessly organized. We're pulling our roadmap today from the Ignite and Elevate playbooks by author and commercial photographer Don Giannotti.
Which are fantastic, by the way.
They really are. They're essentially masterclasses in treating your creative passion like a highly functioning business.
And it is so crucial to talk about why this matters right now for where you are in your career, because photographers rarely fail because they lack talent.
Right.
Or because they don't have a good eye. They fail because they stay stuck in what Giannotti calls prep mode.
Oh, prep mode.
Yeah, they polish their website for the 50th time. They tweet their gear list. They buy another lens they definitely don't need.
Guilty.
Right. And they wait for permission to call themselves a pro. They just wait for some algorithm to bless their Instagram feed.
And today is entirely about crossing that invisible threshold. We're taking you from practice mode to paid assignments by putting real, tangible systems in place.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the first major theme we're tackling is a massive mindset shift.
A huge one.
Giannotti argues that you have to move from seeing yourself as an artist waiting to be discovered to recognizing that you are a visual problem solver.
Yes.
But I want to push on this a bit, because a lot of photographers bristle at that. I mean, we got into this to make art, right?
We did. We absolutely did. But businesses do not hire you for your art.
Harsh, but true.
They can get pretty pictures for free all over the internet. They hire you to sell a product, tell a story, or to build a brand.
Right.
Think about a local bakery. They don't need art to hang in a gallery. They need images that make people scrolling on their phones feel instantly hungry.
Exactly. Or a corporate consulting firm needs headshots that make their executives look approachable but authoritative.
Right. They have a business problem, and your camera is the tool that solves it. When you start thinking like a visual strategist rather than just an artist, your entire approach changes.
You stop presenting a scattered portfolio of everything you've ever shot, and you start presenting solutions. That makes a lot of sense, but it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
The old myth we all fall for is this simple equation, right? Good work equals clients hire me.
Right. The build it and they will come mentality.
Yeah.
But the actual formula for a working professional is much longer. It's good work plus visibility plus pitch plus trust equals clients hire me.
So the good work is really just the baseline.
It's the bare minimum to get in the room.
So how do we actually visualize that in a day-to-day workflow?
Think of treating your photography business like a tiny factory.
A tiny factory. I like that.
Yeah. Your product is visual problem solving. Your inputs are your time, your skill, and your outreach. And your outputs are happy clients, portfolio pieces, and money.
But here is the catch.
Right.
That tiny factory only runs if you feed it.
Exactly. If you don't feed the factory with consistent outreach and visibility, the production line completely stops. You can't just rely on the inputs of skill and time.
You have to feed it with marketing.
You have to.
Let's talk about the first step of that marketing, because this brings up a very painful truth. The playbooks hammer home that your niche is your pitch.
Your niche is your pitch.
If your website says, "I shoot anything," potential clients will instantly assume you aren't great at anything.
Yep.
But I have to ask, on behalf of everyone listening who is terrified of turning down work, if I narrow my focus, aren't I leaving money on the table? I mean, what if someone wants me to shoot their kid's birthday party?
That is the ultimate fear of the freelancer.
Totally.
But the reality is that generalists get ignored.
Yeah.
If a boutique skincare brand is looking for a photographer, they don't want someone who shoots weddings, landscapes, and the occasional bottle of lotion.
Right.
They want someone who understands the visual language of skincare. If you try to appeal to everyone, you make the client do all the heavy lifting to figure out if you can actually help them.
And clients don't want to do heavy lifting.
They really don't. Giannotti breaks down how to find your specific niche as the exact intersection of three things. First, what you genuinely love to shoot. Second, what you are technically very good at. And third, what people will actually pay for in your specific market.
And if you hit the exact overlap of all three, you thrive.
That's the sweet spot.
So practically speaking, let's say I figure out that intersection. How does that translate to my online presence?
There's a very strict organizational rule for your website to reflect this. It's the 3-tab maximum for your portfolio.
Only 3 tabs.
Only 3. If your navigation menu looks like a magazine's table of contents.
Like food, aeronautics, weddings, children's fashion.
Yeah, it just deeply confuses clients, and that confusion kills momentum. You have to keep it incredibly tight. If your niche is lifestyle brand photography, your 3 tabs might be food, lifestyle, and interior design.
All connected by a human lived-in element.
Exactly. It proves to the client within 5 seconds of clicking your link that you are the exact specialist they need.
Okay, so the site is dialed in with those 3 tabs. It looks incredibly professional, but you can't just sit there waiting for the skincare brand to stumble across it.
Right? Do we actually get the right people to look at it?
You have to stop spraying and praying. You start putting up a post with 30 hashtags, hoping an art director is doom scrolling.
So what's the alternative?
You build what's called a Dream 50 list.
A Dream 50. Is that just me sitting down and writing out 50 brands I think are cool?
Not at all. It is a highly organized, targeted strategy. You are handpicking 50 businesses, agencies, or individuals who are an absolutely perfect fit for your newly defined niche.
Okay.
What's fascinating here is the organizational brilliance of tiering these leads.
Yeah.
You do not treat all 50 names on that list the exact same way. You break them down into 3 tiers.
Break those down for me.
Tier 1 are the clients who are ready to pitch today. Your portfolio matches their needs perfectly, they have a budget, and you have their contact info.
Got it.
Tier 2 are clients who are almost ready, but maybe they need a little warming up, or you need to shoot one more specific portfolio piece to prove you can do their exact style.
And tier 3?
Tier 3 are those aspirational dream clients. The massive national brands. The ones you are planting seeds with for 2 years from now.
But wait, let's get granular here. How do I actually find these people? Like, I can put a cool local coffee roaster on my Dream 50 list, but do I just send an email to info@coffeeroaster.com?
No.
Because in my experience, that goes right into a black hole.
That's a great point, and the answer is absolutely not. You have to do the research. You go on LinkedIn, you search for the company, and you look for titles like art director, marketing manager, or creative director.
You find the actual human being.
The actual human who makes the decision about hiring visual creatives. And this is totally a long game. You don't just blast them with a cold call email begging for a job right away.
So what does warming them up actually look like?
It means you follow them on LinkedIn and Instagram. You comment thoughtfully on their posts.
Like not just a fire emoji.
Right, a real comment about their new campaign. You share their articles. You build a genuine relationship and prove that you are paying attention to their brand before you ever ask for the gig.
Because when you do finally reach out, you aren't a stranger in their inbox. You're a familiar, supportive presence.
Exactly.
Which really forces you to take control. You are deciding who you want to work with rather than letting the universe decide for you.
Yes.
But this brings us to what I think is the hardest hurdle for creatives. Giannotti emphatically states that a great portfolio is not a business system.
It is not.
And that random actions lead to random results. Mm. We need to talk about organization. Systems over genius.
This is where so many creatives stumble. I know photographers who would literally rather rewire their entire studio lighting grid than open a spreadsheet.
Oh, 100%. They think systems means selling out or being robotic or turning into a corporate drone.
But systems are just habits with a purpose.
I have to ask, though. Isn't tiering 50 clients and tracking them going to make me feel like a telemarketer? I mean, I got into photography to avoid data entry.
I hear that all the time. But let me ask you this. How does it feel when you forgot to email back a client who was ready to hand you $3,000 just because their email got buried under a bunch of software subscription receipts?
Yeah, that feels way worse than data entry.
Giannotti explains that you really only need a simple, repeatable three-part system.
Okay.
First is outreach, getting your work in front of people. Second is content, showing your value in public, like on your blog or Instagram. And third is follow-up, staying top of mind without being annoying.
And to manage all of that, segmenting your leads using a CRM.
A customer relationship management tool.
Right, or even just a really well-organized spreadsheet. That is non-negotiable.
Totally non-negotiable.
What does that spreadsheet actually look like?
Very simple. Columns for name, company, email, last contacted date, and status. You organize your contacts into three distinct buckets: warm leads, cold leads, and clients or referrers.
Because sloppy memory loses every single time.
Every time.
Okay, I can see the value in the spreadsheet. But what happens when I actually get the gig? Because the playbooks introduce this concept of the weekly marketing minimum to help you survive the busy week trap.
Oh, the busy week trap.
We all know what happens. You get a big multi-day shoot. You are buried in edits and you completely stop marketing.
Yep.
Then 2 months later, the project is done and you have zero leads, just crickets.
That is the classic feast or famine cycle, and it is exhausting.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The survival plan here is that you only need 50 minutes a week to keep the factory running.
Just 50.
But seriously, 50 minutes. If I'm editing 800 wedding photos or retouching a huge catalog, how is 50 minutes of marketing going to save my pipeline?
Because you batch the work and you do it consistently. For example, Monday morning, before you even open Lightroom, you spend 15 minutes sending follow-up emails to your warm leads. Wednesday, you spend 15 minutes posting a behind-the-scenes shot from your current shoot to LinkedIn. Friday, you spend 20 minutes reviewing your spreadsheet, moving leads around, and planning who you'll contact next week.
So that's literally less than an hour a week.
It ensures your pipeline never dries up. You are building a machine that runs in the background.
Let's talk about what happens during those 15 minutes of outreach, because sitting down to write a cold email to an art director is terrifying. The fear of rejection is real.
It is real.
What do I actually say?
Well, first rule, never ever copy-paste generic spammy emails.
Like, hi, I'm a photographer, I shoot everything, hire me.
Right, delete. The playbooks give a five-part email formula that actually gets replies. Step one, greet them like a human. Step two, show you actually know their brand. Step three, connect your specific work to their visual needs.
Nice.
Step four, invite them to take a low-pressure next step. And step five, make it incredibly easy to say yes.
Can you give me a concrete example of how that sounds? Like, let's say I'm pitching that coffee roaster.
Yeah, sure. It sounds like this. Hi, Sarah. That's step one. I loved the recent launch of your single origin Ethiopian roast. The packaging looks incredible. That's step two.
Showing you know the brand.
Exactly. Then I'm a local commercial photographer specializing in food and beverage, and I noticed your Instagram has been leaning heavily into lifestyle shots lately. I'd love to help you build a library of high-end imagery for the upcoming holiday push.
Connecting work to their needs. That's step three.
Yep. Step five is next, actually. I've put together a curated gallery of similar coffee brands I've worked with right here, with a link. And then step four, are you open to a quick five-minute chat next Tuesday to see if we'd be a good fit?
That is so clean. It's a handshake, not a hard sell.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be real. Sarah at the coffee company is busy. She probably isn't going to reply to that first email.
Probably not.
And that's usually where photographers give up.
Yes, and there is a crucial statistic in the text that every freelancer needs to internalize. 80% of gigs come after the first message.
80%.
Yet most photographers stop after one single email. They assume silence means rejection. People are just busy. That's why the organizational rhythm for follow-ups is so vital. Giannotti outlines a specific three-touch rhythm.
Walk me through that rhythm. I really don't want to feel like a stalker.
You won't if you do it right.
Right.
1 week after your first email, you send a gentle nudge, literally just, hi, Sarah, I know how busy product launches get, just bubbling this to the top of your inbox.
Keep it light.
Right. Then 2 weeks after that, you send a value add. You don't just say checking in again. You share something useful.
Like what?
Like, hi, Sarah, I just shot this new pour-over campaign and wrote a quick blog post about lighting dark liquids. Thought you might find the aesthetic interesting.
I like that. You're giving them something, not just asking for something.
Exactly. And then 3 to 4 weeks later, if there is still no response, you do a polite loop close.
What exactly is a polite loop close?
It's giving them an out while leaving the door open. You literally write, "Hi, Sarah. I know things are incredibly busy on your end, so I'll stop reaching out for now. But I'd love to keep you on my quarterly mailing list for future updates, if that's all right. Hope you have a great quarter."
Wow. Keep the door open, but you let the immediate pressure go. You're planting seeds, not begging.
Exactly.
Okay, this is all brilliant if I have the portfolio to back it up.
Yeah.
But what if you're sitting there thinking, "I know my niche, I want to shoot for craft breweries, but my current portfolio is all weddings and family portraits."
Right.
"I don't have the exact pieces to pitch my dream 50 yet."
This is one of my favorite strategies from the playbooks. You create your own proof through portfolio mini shoots. These are pre-client assignments. Yeah. And we should clarify, these are not those discounted mini sessions that portrait photographers do in a park on a Saturday.
Right, right. So what are they?
These are 1 to 2 hour, highly focused, self-directed shoots designed to act as client magnets. Uses a specific formula, subject to constraint to package.
Let's role play this. Walk me through a mini shoot for that craft brewery niche.
Okay. First, the subject. You go to the store and buy 3 visually distinct cans from a local brewery that is a tier 2 on your Dream 50 list.
Okay, got the cans.
Second, the constraint. You give yourself a strict limit to keep it efficient. You say, "I'm only going to use 1 artificial light, a wooden tabletop surface, and some condensation spray. I have exactly 2 hours." You don't overthink it.
So you shoot the cans, then what?
Then the package. You edit the photos as if it were a real paid campaign. You have the clean hero image of the can, the creative detail shot of the condensation, and maybe you set up your phone on a tripod to capture a 15-second behind-the-scenes video of how you lit it.
Smart.
You put that together into a clean 1-page PDF or a hidden page on your website. Then you literally email that package shoot to the art director at the brewery and say, "Hey, I absolutely love your new IPA design. I was testing out a new lighting technique in the studio today, used your can as the subject, and I thought of you. Here's what we created."
That is incredibly proactive. You are showing them exactly what you can do for them using their own product without waiting for them to hire you first. It's irresistible.
It really is.
So what does this all mean? Let's say it works. They reply and say, "We love this. Let's talk rates for our next launch."
Awesome.
The playbooks are very strict about this next part regarding pricing. Giannotti warns against ever discounting your rates to close a deal. Why is that such a hard line?
Because discounting makes you look like clearance bin content. It devalues your work instantly. A discount basically says, "My normal price isn't actually worth it, so I'll lower it to get your money."
But if they are hesitating on the price, how do I close the deal without dropping my rate?
You use smart nudges called incentives. Incentives add value without reducing your price. It makes the client feel like they are getting an exclusive advantage for booking right now.
Give me an example.
For example, if your day rate is $2,000 and they're hesitant, you don't drop it to $1,500. Instead, you offer a new client bonus. You say, "My rate is $2,000, but if we can lock in the dates by Friday, I will include 3 extra web resolution images for social media free of charge."
Oh, I see.
Or you could offer a free 30-minute creative development Zoom call. You maintain your premium rate, but you make the offer irresistible by adding low-cost, high-value bonuses.
That protects your brand value while still making the client feel like they want a negotiation.
I love that. Okay. So let's say you land the client, you shoot the campaign, they pay your full rate, and they are thrilled.
Best feeling in the world.
Right. You need social proof for your newly organized website. But there is a huge warning here about the testimonial trap.
Yes. If you just email a client and say, "Hey, can I get a testimonial?" They will usually write something nice but totally generic. They'll say, "Super easy to work with, great photos, highly recommend."
Which feels good to read, but it doesn't actually sell your services to the next corporate client.
Exactly. It doesn't tell a story. You have to guide them. You want your testimonials to read like micro case studies.
How do you do that?
When you ask for a review, you ask them to answer 3 specific questions. What was the problem your brand was facing before we worked together? What was the process like during the shoot? And what was the measurable result the images helped you achieve?
So instead of great photos, you get a testimonial that says, "We were struggling to make our new product line look cohesive on our website. The photographer came in, made the pre-production process completely seamless, and the new lifestyle images boosted our online engagement by 30%.
Exactly. When the next art director on your Dream 50 list reads that, they aren't just seeing praise, they are seeing a roadmap to solving their own problems. That is what makes them pull out their credit card.
This has been an incredibly dense, practical deep dive. let's wrap up everything we've covered today.
Let's do it.
The overarching theme from Giannotti's playbooks is that you are no longer waiting for permission. By defining a sharp niche, organizing a highly targeted Dream 50 list, aggressively managing your leads in a CRM spreadsheet, and committing to a weekly marketing minimum of just 50 minutes.
You are entirely flipping your business from reactive to proactive.
It really demystifies the whole freelance struggle.
Getting fully booked isn't magic, and it isn't just about having the most artistic eye. It is simply about having an organized system. Your portfolio is what makes you proud, but your system is what gets you paid.
So true.
If you put these organizational structures in place, the factory runs, and the work will eventually start finding you.
It's empowering. Honestly. So we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you look at your own photography business today, and it's something that goes beyond what we just discussed.
Right.
Think about the landscape of our industry right now. With AI image generation getting better every single day, the ability to simply make a pretty picture is rapidly becoming a commodity.
It really is.
In 3 or 4 years, your technical lighting skills might not be your main differentiator anymore. Your organization, your client experience, your proactive communication, and your ability to solve specific business problems, that will be your only real moat against the technology.
That's a powerful point.
Are you building that organizational moat today? Think about it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.